Mandrake bent down to the crumpled frog. Its legs were bent and splayed, its mouth half open, its eyes tight shut. An odd colourless fluid spread slowly out upon the tiles around it. Heart pounding, he used his lenses. On all three planes, the frog looked exactly the same. Nevertheless, what is this hideous creature? Jane Farrar's pale face was contorted with distaste. I shall summon my jinni to view it on the higher planes. Then we can dispose. Mandrake held up a hand. Wait. He bent closer, addressed the frog. Bartimaeus? Miss Farrar frowned. You mean this thing is... I don't know. Be silent. He spoke again, louder this time, nearer the poor bent head. Bartimaeus, is that you? It is I. He paused, moistened his lips. Your master. One of the forelegs twitched. Mandrake sat back on his haunches and looked up excitedly at his companion. He's still alive. Did you see? Miss Farrar's lips were a hard line. She stood a little apart, as if subtly detaching herself from the scene. One or two wide-eyed footmen appeared at the margins of the hall. With angry motions, she waved them away. It will not be alive for long. Look at the essence draining off. Did you request it to come here? Mandrake was not looking at her. He anxiously surveyed the body on the floor. Yes, yes, I gave him an open-door injunction. He was to return when he had information on Hopkins. He tried again. Bartimaeus! Sudden interest flared in Farrar's voice. Really? And from the sounds we heard, it seems he was pursued. Interesting. John, we have little time for the interrogation. Somewhere nearby, Devereux will have his pentacle chamber. It will be a close-run thing, but if we use sufficient force before the creature loses all its essence, we can... Silence! He is waking! The back of the frog's head had become blurred and indistinct. The foreleg had not moved again. Nevertheless, one of the eyelids suddenly flickered. By minute increments it opened. A bulging eye looked forth, misty and unfocused. Bartimaeus! A tiny voice, as if from far away. Who's asking? Mandrake! Oh, thought it was worth waking up for a minute there. The head sagged, the eyelid drooped. Miss Farrar stepped close and nudged the frog's leg with the toe of a pointed shoe. Fulfill your mission, she said. Tell us about Hopkins. The frog's eye opened a little. It swiveled painfully and focused for an instant on Miss Farrar. The tiny voice sounded again. Is this your bird? Tell me she's not. Oh, dear. The eye closed, and despite all Mandrake's pleas and Farrar's commands, did not reopen. Mandrake sat back on his heels and ran a hand distractedly through his hair. Farrar laid an impatient hand on his shoulder. Pull yourself together, John! It's only a demon. Look at the spilled essence. If you don't take steps right now, we'll lose the information. He stood then and looked at her wearily. You think we can wake it? Yes, with the right techniques. The shimmering coil or the essence rack, perhaps. But I'd say we've got less than 5 minutes. It can no longer maintain its form. Those techniques would destroy it. Yes, but we'd have the information. Come on, John. You. She snapped her fingers at a manservant, hovering at the fringes of a small knot of watching guests. Over here. Bring a dustpan or some kind of shovel. We need to scrape this mess up fast. No. There is another way. Mandrake spoke quietly, too quietly for Miss Farrar to hear. As she issued orders to the men around her, he crouched once more beside the frog and uttered a long and complex incantation under his breath. The frog's limbs shivered. A faint grey mist dribbled off its body, as of cold air meeting warm. With great speed, the body of the frog melted into the mist. The mist coiled about Mandrake's shoes and ebbed away. Miss Farrar turned around in time to see Mandrake rising. The frog was gone. For a few seconds she gazed at him dumbfounded. What have you done? Dismissed my servant. His eyes were fixed elsewhere. The fingers of one hand fiddled with his collar. "But the information about Hopkins!" She was genuinely bewildered. "Can be acquired from my servant in a couple of days, by which time his essence will have healed sufficiently in the other place for him to be able to talk to me."
2 days? Miss Farrar uttered a little squeal of anger. "That might be far too late. We have no idea what Hopkins—"
"He was a valuable servant," Mandrake said. He looked at her, and his eyes were dull and distant, though his face had flushed at her words. "It will not be too late. I will talk to him when his essence has healed." Miss Farrar's eyes flashed darkly. She stepped close, and Mandrake caught a sudden wave of pomegranates with a hint of lemon.
"I would have thought," she said, "that you valued my regard rather higher than the spilled slime of a fading demon. That creature failed you. It was charged to bring you information, and it could not do so. Important intelligence was there for us to take, and you released it."
"Only temporarily." Mandrake had waved a hand, spoken a breathless syllable. A bulb of silence surrounded them, blocking their words from the sizable crowd now jostling at the garden entrance of the hall. They all still wore their masks. He glimpsed the sparkling, vibrant colours, the strange, exotic shapes, the blank eye slits. He and Farrah were the only magicians who were maskless. It made him feel exposed and naked. Furthermore, he knew that he had no real answer to her anger, for his actions had taken even himself by surprise. This made him furious in his turn.
"Please control yourself," he said coldly. "I deal with my slaves in the manner of my choosing."
Miss Farrah gave a short, wild laugh.
"Indeed you do. Your slaves. Or perhaps you mean your little friends."
"Oh, come now."
"Enough," she turned from him. "People have been hunting for your weakness for some time now, Mr. Mandrake," she said over her shoulder, "and I, inadvertently, have found it. Extraordinary. I never would have guessed that you were such a sentimental fool."
Her coat swirled around her. With imperious steps, she passed through the membrane of the bulb. Without any further backward glance, she stalked from the hall. Mandrake watched her go. He took a deep breath. Then, with a single word, he dismissed the bulb of silence and was received eagerly by an ocean of noise, kerfuffle, and excited speculation.